Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Eric Adams takes the lead in the New York City Democratic race for mayor.
Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa wins the Republican vote.
On Capitol Hill, GOP senators block the Voting Rights Act from going to the floor.
And Morgan Stanley requires vaccinations for workers to return to the office.
The candidates are reacting to New York City's Democratic mayoral primary, plus House Speaker Pelosi will decide on a panel to probe the Capitol riot. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost to the Royals. The Mets were shut out by the Braves, and the Phoenix Suns with another win in the NBA playoffs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are a little changed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up a point. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 1.47%. Yield on the 2-year 0.24%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with New York City's Democratic primary for mayor. After the first round of ranked choice counting, a leader has emerged, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live in New York with the very latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Brooklyn Borough President and former New York Police Captain Eric Adams leads the race.
New York City said our first choice is Eric Adams.
With nearly all precincts reporting, Eric Adams has 31% of the vote. Civil rights lawyer Maya Wiley is in second with 22%. And former sanitation commissioner Catherine Garcia has 20% of the vote. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang garnered just 12% and conceded defeat late yesterday. No other name on the ballot drew support over 5%. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams now holds a sizable advantage in the race for New York City mayor. We get more from Bloomberg political editor Jody Schneider.
That focus on crime and on trying to get the city to be a safer place. As a former police officer, this was something he has campaigned on, and also as someone of color with that police background. Eric Adams had been leading in recent weeks.
Bloomberg's Jody Schneider says crime and inequality emerge as the main issues in the race for mayor.
All right. Well, Adams leads the field right now, but he's not the nominee yet. This is New York City's first time using ranked choice voting. That means Adams has to survive 12 rounds of subsequent vote counts to win. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The results reflect only the initial round of voting in the city's ranked choice voting system. Voters chose their top five candidates in order of preference. Now, given an influx of absentee ballots and a complex counting system, the final winner may not be known until mid-July. And second choice picks could be the key to those results. That's because candidates who come in last are eliminated, and their voters' second choices get distributed as if they were top picks to other candidates. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thank you. One thing we do know this morning, the eventual winner of the Democratic primary will be running against Curtis Sliwa in the general election. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini has more on last night's Republican primary results.
Sliwa's big win over businessman Fernando Mateo for the Republican nominee for mayor puts fighting crime front and center in the November race. Sliwa says it's all about police.
Refunding our heroes, the police. Hiring more police. Taking the handcuffs off the police and putting it on the criminals.
Sliwa is the founder of the Guardian Angels. He's also promising to address the city's homeless problem, and he wants animal shelters to stop euthanizing pets. In New York, I'm Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Denise, thanks. New Yorkers also cast their ballot for a new Manhattan district attorney, and right now that race is too close to call. Alvin Bragg and Tali Farhadian-Weinstein are leading the field. With 84% of precincts reporting, Bragg has 34% of the vote, and Weinstein has 31%.
When it comes to city controller, ranked choice voting could also delay final results. Right now, Brad Lander leads the race with 31% of the vote. Corey Johnson is in second place with 23%. And Michelle Caruso Cabrera is a distant third, coming in around 14%.
All right, we're going to have more on the New York City races throughout the morning. First, let's update you on markets. Futures are little changed after reassuring comments from Federal Reserve officials. Fed Chair Jay Powell told a House subcommittee he thinks recent price increases will likely wane.
Look at the categories where these prices are really going up. You'll see that it tends to be areas that are directly affected by the reopening. That's something that we'll go through over a period that will then be over, and it should not leave much of a mark on the ongoing inflation process.
Fed Chair Powell also says the central bank is currently not close to raising interest rates.
On Wall Street, a top bank wants its workers back in the office fully vaccinated. According to an internal memo, Morgan Stanley plans to bar employees who are not vaccinated from entering its New York offices. The firm says it wants to create a normal office environment without a need for face masks and physical distancing.
In Washington, we're seeing a showdown on election laws. Senate Republicans have blocked the Voting Rights Act from going to the floor. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Using the filibuster to do it, straight party line vote, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says what is very clear now.
Voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
Mitch McConnell says not true.
There is no effort in any state in America to suppress votes.
And Vice President Kamala Harris saying the fight is not over.
The President and I are very clear. We support S1. We support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And the fight is not over.
McConnell says it is. It does raise the question about filibuster again. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. Meantime, the U.S. and China may hold diplomatic talks next week. The Financial Times reports the two sides may meet during a Group of 20 meeting in Italy. It's a sign the two countries could be open to steps toward easing tensions.
And a programming note. Join us later this morning for an exclusive interview with the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Chairman Gary Gensler sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg surveillance. It's coming up at 9 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures, little change to the downside now. Dow futures up 27 points. NASDAQ futures up 1 point. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more on primary night and the rest of what's happening in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The candidates are reacting to New York City's crowded Democratic mayoral primary. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams has taken the lead. It could be weeks before it becomes clear who is actually on top in the city's first major contest to use ranked choice voting, but we know who will not be mayor. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang conceded the race last night and dropped out.
I'm just so grateful to everyone who has given us the chance to make this campaign as impactful as it's been and something that I am so proud to have led over the last number of months.
Yang's concession capped a remarkable tumble from frontrunner in the early polls to also-ran. Attorney Maya Wiley is second.
What makes New York is all of us, and we got each other.
Horace Wiley is ahead of former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia.
This is going to be a ranked choice election. This is going to be about not only the ones, but also about the twos and threes. And to be quite honest with you, we're not going to know a whole lot more tonight than we know now.
Scott Stringer came in fifth with 5%. But there are still many absentee ballots to be counted in the coming weeks. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren has lost her race for a third term. Warren came up short in Tuesday's Democratic primary against City Councilman Malik Evans, who has 66.1% of the vote to Warren's 34%. Governor Ned Lamont has signed a bill making Connecticut the 19th state to legalize recreational use of marijuana, which remains an illegal drug under federal law. People aged 21 and older will be allowed to possess and consume marijuana beginning on July 1st under the new law. Retail sales of recreational pot in Connecticut are not expected to begin until the summer of 2022 at the earliest. A spokesman for Nancy Pelosi says the House Speaker plans to announce this week whether she will create a select committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol after Republicans blocked naming an independent commission to conduct the probe. Pelosi's deputy chief of staff, Drew Hamill, says she set out the timetable at a leadership meeting. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Not a good night for the Mets. Shut out for the fourth time in the last week and injuries to two starting pitchers. Joey Lucchese's headed for season-ending Tommy John surgery, and Marcus Stroman had to leave after one inning last night with a sore hip. Atlanta's Dansby Swanson had a three-run homer in the fourth, the only scoring. The Braves won 3-0. Charlie Morton's 100th career victory. He allowed only one hit, struck out 11. The Mets have lost six of the last eight. The Yankees have been coming from behind lately. This time blew a lead. Kansas City with a four-run eighth inning off Jonathan Loaisiga, and the Royals won 6-5. Yankee home runs in the loss for DJ LeMahieu, Kyle Higashioka, and Luke Voit in his return to the lineup. The Yanks are only 19-18 at home. First place Red Sox won in 11 innings. They sent Tampa Bay to a seventh straight loss. The Rays got a three-run homer from 20-year-old Wander Franco in his major league debut. He's considered baseball's top prospect. What a finish in the NBA playoffs in Phoenix. The Clippers rallied to take the lead. The Suns were down by one, less than a second to go.
Out of looking, throws it alley. Oh! He puts it down! It's over!
And they're trying to say goaltending, but that's a live basketball. He can finish it.
ESPN had the call. The Suns' eighth playoff win in a row, 104-103. They lead the Clippers 2-0. Detroit Pistons won the draft lottery. Montreal won 4-1 at Vegas. The Canadiens are now one win from their first Stanley Cup final since 1993. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, the best-selling jersey in the NFL right now belongs to Carl Nassib. Sports licensing company Fanatics says the Raiders defensive end had the biggest sales yesterday and the day before after he became the first active player in the league to come out as gay. Fanatics isn't saying exactly how many Nassib jerseys have sold this week. Futures little change to the upside now. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather for the rest of this week. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 70s. Currently 54 in Newark, 54 in New Rochelle, and 56 degrees in Central Park.
Headlines and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are steady. U.S. stock index futures are higher after comments from the Federal Reserve eased investor concerns that faster inflation would spur policy tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, and you'll know why I paused a bit, up 3 points right now. That's still up less than a tenth of a percent. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.47%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.24%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 50 cents at $73.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5 at $17.82.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1943 against the dollar. British pound 1.3966 and the yen 111.06. Looking at Bitcoin at $33,921. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Senate Republicans have blocked debate of a sweeping overhaul of how elections are run in the U.S. Congressional Democrats. They've been pushing the bill as urgent response to the 2020 election and a spate of new GOP laws this year tightening voting rules in the state. Democratic leaders say their efforts to pass the bill will continue. President Joe Biden will launch a comprehensive plan to curb gun crime, including by allowing states and municipalities to tap into coronavirus relief funding to hire police officers under certain circumstances. Biden will unveil the strategy in a speech today. Measures include toughening rules for gun dealers. In the NBA, the Suns lead the Clippers 2 games to 0 after last night's win, 104-103. Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants won. The Orioles lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks very much. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's run down the scorecard now this morning after the New York City primary races. Joining us live once again, Bloomberg News Chief Content Officer Marty Shanker. So, Marty, we have a leader, but we are far from knowing an official winner in the Democratic primary for mayor. But it is looking good for Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams.
For sure. Eric Adams has, a significant lead over second place finisher that will be hard to overcome when they do the rank preference voting, which is, we're not going to get any indication of that for at least another 10 days.
And that second place finisher, of course, so far is civil rights lawyer Maya Wiley, with Adams at 31%, Wiley at 22%, a 9-point gap there. What does that tell you about how this race has shaken out when it comes to what was for many voters a key issue, the issue of crime and policing in New York City?
Yeah, when you get down to it, if you also consider Catherine Garcia, the former sanitation commissioner, got about 20%. When you add that to Eric Adams's tally, it's clear that quality of life issues, policing, and crime were the determiners of this race. And Eric Adams, a former police captain and a history of really being tough on crime, probably carried the day for him.
And we had Andrew Yang, of course, the former presidential candidate, dropping out of the race last night after finishing in fourth place. With Yang out now, Marty, what does that mean for the contenders that are still in this with the ranked choice voting system that's now in effect for the first time in New York?
Well, my understanding of how this is going to work is that even though he's technically out of the race, all the people who voted for him, either first or second, are going to be allocated to the remaining candidates as they move up the food chain towards first and second place. So what really doomed Andrew Yang was, misstatements and kind of questions about how well he knows New York City.
And when you have finisher like Yang dropping out compared to other ranked choice votes that we've seen in the past, Marty, what could that mean for the race as it goes forward here? We're going to get, what is it, like a dozen subsequent counts over the next days and weeks here. Is there a chance that we could see some shifting in the pack as this goes forward?
That is possible. I mean, this is a new way of doing the vote in New York. Where you placed a certain candidate on the ballot is going to determine how those votes get allocated as they drop the last place finisher out of the race on these different stages. So it's possible, but history, if history's any guide, it's only 15 out of 350 races where a second or third place finisher has come back to win. So the odds are pretty long.
All right, let's turn to some of the down ballot races after last night. The voters also chose a district attorney, city controller, but we still don't know the results on any of those either, at least not officially.
No, on the controller race, Brad Lander of Brooklyn was leading, and he was endorsed by the progressives in the New York area. And Alvin Bragg, a former federal prosecutor who was black, maintained a 4 percentage point lead over his challenger. So that one, we have to wait for absentee ballots to be counted.
And as for district attorney, replacement for Cyrus Vance Jr., where does that stand?
That is actually the one I just mentioned. Alvin Bragg is in the lead for Manhattan DA.
Okay. And whoever comes out on top in the mayor's race in the Democratic primary is going to be facing Republican Curtis Sliwa. I mean, in our last 30 seconds here, Marty, obviously New York is a heavily Democratic city. Is the primary really considered sort of the final result?
That's a prevailing wisdom. 7-1 advantage Democrat registered voters over Republicans. And Curtis, while well known, has no experience. So I think Eric Adams is going to take that one.
if he does come out, of course, in the final result.
Absolutely.
With 12 more rounds of vote counting to come in this ranked choice system that's just getting its first go round in New York City. Marty Shanker, Chief Content Officer for Bloomberg News. Again, thanks for being with us this morning after the first round of vote counting. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street, counting the gains for S&P futures. Right now, they're up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 65. And NASDAQ futures on the rise by 19 points. Gains of a tenth to two-tenths percent across the board. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We're going to have a mix of sun and clouds. Nice temperatures for the rest of this week. Highs anywhere from 75 to 80 degrees today, tomorrow, and the next day. Currently 56 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning with the race for New York City mayor. A leader has emerged in the Democratic primary for mayor, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live in New York with the very latest. Renita.
Karen, Brooklyn Borough President and former New York Police Captain Eric Adams leads the race. With nearly all precincts reporting, Adams has 31% of the vote. Civil rights lawyer Maya Wiley is in second with 22%. And former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia has 20% of the vote. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang garnered just 12% and conceded defeat late yesterday. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. While Adams leads the field, he's not the nominee yet. This is New York City's first time using ranked choice voting. That means Adams has to survive 12 more rounds of vote counts to win. More on that from Bloomberg Political News Director Jody Schneider.
The question becomes, who do those other votes help? They tend to help more moderates, people who you don't necessarily feel so passionate about that you're making them your number one choice, but that you feel pretty good about.
Adams does have a 9-point lead over second place candidate Maya Wiley, but with all the counting to come, it could be as late as the middle of next month before we know the final winner.
Meantime, on the Republican side, Curtis Sliwa has won the party's nomination for mayor. The founder of the Guardian Angels received 72% of New York City's GOP vote. The other Republican candidate, restaurateur Fernando Mateo, garnered just 28%.
Turning to markets now, futures are a touch higher this morning after reassuring comments from Federal Reserve officials. Fed Chair Jay Powell tells a House subcommittee recent price increases will likely wane.
A pretty substantial part or perhaps all of the overshoot in inflation comes from categories that are directly affected by the reopening of the economy.
Jay Powell also says the Fed is currently nowhere near raising interest rates.
On Wall Street, Morgan Stanley plans to bar employees who are not vaccinated from entering its New York offices. The policy outlined in an internal memo is one of the most restrictive issued by a major U.S. bank.
And Bitcoin is bouncing back this morning after dipping below the 30,000 level. Right now, it's at $34,105.
Futures this morning are a little changed to higher. S&P futures up 3.5 points now. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more primary reaction and the rest of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The candidates are reacting to New York City's crowded Democratic mayoral primary. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams taking the lead. It could be weeks, though, before it becomes clear who is actually on top in the city's first major contest to use ranked choice voting. But we know who will not be mayor. Former presidential candidate Andrew Yang conceded the race last night and dropped out.
I'm just so grateful to everyone who has given us the chance to make this campaign as impactful as it's been and something that I am so proud to have led over the last number of months.
Yang's concession capped a remarkable tumble from front runner in the early polls to also ran. Attorney Maya Wiley is second.
Every single vote will count. Every single New Yorker who voted will count.
Wiley is ahead of former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia.
It's going to come down to opening up those ballots and making sure that every single New Yorker's voice is heard.
Scott Stringer came in fifth with 5%, but there are still many absentee ballots to be counted in the coming weeks. A winner in the eight-way Democratic primary for Manhattan District Attorney couldn't be determined as of now, but Alvin Bragg has almost 34%. Tally for Hadean Weinstein is second with 30%, with 84% of the precincts counted. In heavily Democratic Manhattan, the party's primary is all but certain to determine who succeeds the current district attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr., who is leaving office at the end of the year. When it comes to city comptroller, ranked choice voting could also delay final results. Right now, Brad Lander leads the race with 31% of the vote. Corey Johnson is in second place with 23%. And Michelle Caruso Cabrera is a distant third, coming in around 14%. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will create a select committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. A spokesman says it comes after Republicans blocked naming an independent commission to conduct the probe. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. .635 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Another quiet night for the Mets bats. Shut out for the fourth time in the past week. And in three of those four, they've had exactly two hits. The Braves, who won the nightcap to Monday's doubleheader 1-0, won last night 3-0 as Charlie Morton allowed only one hit, struck out 11. Marcus Stroman started for the Mets but left after one inning due to a sore hip. The Mets manager is Louis Rojas.
He wanted to stay, but I think it was wise to come out. Just, you know, be cautious. You can hurt something else just by not being as deliberate with your delivery, using your hips, right? So it's the right thing coming out. So, you know, we'll reassess tomorrow, see how he is.
And with Joey Lucchesi headed for season-ending Tommy John surgery, the Mets tonight will start 6'7" Tyler McGill. He'll make his Major League debut. Garrett Cole on the mound for the Yankees. Seven strong innings. The Yanks scored in the seventh, took a 3-2 lead, but the Royals with four in the eighth off Jonathan Loaisiga, DJ LeMay, who hit a two-run homer bottom of the eighth, but Kansas City held on to win 6-5. Luke Voit back in the Yankee lineup had a home run on a triple. Kyle Higashioka also homered. The Phoenix Suns, who won only 19 games 2 years ago, have now won eight straight playoff games. Last night, 104-103 to take a 2-0 lead on the Clippers in the West Finals. The Suns won it when Jay Crowder threw an inbounds alley-oop pass to DeAndre Ayton, who dunked it in with less than a second to go. Atlanta and Milwaukee play game one in the East tonight. Stanley Cup playoffs. Montreal won 4-1 at Vegas for a 3-2 lead. The Islanders face elimination tonight. They trailed Tampa Bay 3-2, and unless they rally to win the series, tonight's game will be their last ever at the Nassau Coliseum. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, we just got some pretty big news from a big drug maker.
Absolutely, and it's GlaxoSmithKline, up about 2% in U.S. trading. The U.K. drug maker will spin off its consumer health unit in mid-2022 to focus on pharmaceuticals. Glaxo will reduce its dividend next year by about 30% in connection with the split. Nonetheless, the American Depositary Receipts, ADRs, of Glaxo are higher in early trading. XPeng, up 5%. People with knowledge of the matter said the Chinese electric vehicle maker was cleared for a listing in Hong Kong. They said XPeng could raise as much as $2 billion in a share sale as soon as this year.
All right. Now, we've been talking a little bit about the bounce back in Bitcoin this morning. How's that affecting crypto stocks?
Well, we're seeing a bounce back in those shares as well. MicroStrategy, the business software maker and Bitcoin investor, up 3.5% in early trading. Now, MicroStrategy is rebounding from a two-day decline of more than 14%. and other cryptocurrency-related stocks are higher as well. The exchange Coinbase Global up 1% and Riot Blockchain up 2.5%. Among the meme stocks, the movie theater owner AMC Entertainment is down 1.5%, while the video game seller GameStop is up 0.5%. The insurer Clover Health Investments is up 2.5%. And Context Logic, the owner of shopping site Wish.com, also up 2.5%. IHS Market will be a stock to watch. The business information provider's earnings and revenue for the fiscal second quarter beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey, and IHS Market raised full-year forecasts. Quarterly results are also due from the dental product distributor Patterson, which is up 2.5% in early trading, and from recreational vehicle maker Winnebago, up 3.5%. Nikola up 4%. The electric truck developer agreed to buy a 20% stake in a hydrogen plant being built in Indiana. The cash and stock deal is valued at $50 million. Fisker is up 1.5%. Magna International disclosed a 7.4% stake in the electric vehicle startup in the form of warrants. Now, these securities were issued as part of a production agreement last year. RPM International down 1%. The chemical maker was cut the equivalent of sell from neutral JP Morgan. And Absolera Biologics down 9.5%. A company owned by director Michael Hayden's wife sold 100,000 shares of the Canadian drug developer privately for about $2.5 million. Now, that sale followed a 45% drop in Absolera's share price this year, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, thank you for all that. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, little change to equity futures contracts after Fed Chairman Powell's comments on Capitol Hill. Right now, S&P futures are up almost 3 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 15 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 4/32 with a yield 1.47%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We'll see sun and clouds for the rest of this week and highs in the upper 70s, lows in the low 60s. Currently 53 in Getty Square, 55 in Uniondale, and 56 sunny degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little change to higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are posting modest gains right now. Dow futures up 50 points. S&P's gained 3. NASDAQ futures rise by 19. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.48%. Gold is up 4. And Bitcoin jumps 3.6%. While Hong Kong rose 1.8% overnight. And European markets are mostly lower right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, current account balance. At 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI. And at 10 o'clock, new home sales. Regarding earnings, IHS market beat estimates. And in other news, Morgan Stanley will bar unvaccinated employees from its New York offices starting July 12th. Wrapping things up, Plug Power is cut to hold at Canaccord. Parker Hannifin raised to overweight at KeyBank. And Carvana cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams has taken the lead in New York City's crowded Democratic mayoral primary. Adams has 32%, with 84% of the precincts counted, but it could be weeks before it becomes clear who is actually on top in the city's first major contest to use ranked choice voting. Adams leads attorney Maya Wiley, who is second with 22% of the vote, former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia with 20%, Andrew Yang, who came in fourth, conceded last night with 12%, Scott Stringer came in fifth with 5%. In the NBA playoffs, the Suns lead the Clippers 2 games to 0 after last night's win, 104-103. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants won. The Orioles lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix signs Spielberg, Disney hears Jaws music. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. When Steven Spielberg agrees to make movies for Netflix, it's no longer just a pandemic phenomenon. Even if the relocation of the box office to the living room is only a partial one, it is permanent, and it's forcing Hollywood and Netflix to realize how much they need each other. Spielberg's production company, Amblin Partners, signed a deal to start producing some films for Netflix, attaching one of Hollywood's most influential producers and legendary directors to the most popular entertainment venue. This partnership may be aimed at fixing Netflix's biggest weakness. While variety and choice are its signature offerings, the streaming video provider isn't known for quality filmmaking. And what's the point in releasing a movie a week if they aren't any good? Now, with Spielberg joining Team Netflix, that may change. Cue the Jaws theme song for the rest of the streaming industry. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include Republicans blocking a sweeping voting rights overhaul in the Senate. Still no infrastructure deal after White House talks with senators on Capitol Hill, and tech giants under fire as a House committee takes up antitrust legislation. Also making news, President Biden to launch a gun crime strategy diverting COVID funds to police. Let's get more now from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. So, Emily, the White House put out some of the details on what the president's going to announce today on gun crime. What do we know so far?
So, Nathan, we know that President Biden's going to launch this plan to curb gun crime. And to do that, he's going to tap into that coronavirus relief funding that's left over from the amounts that Congress allocated through those COVID stimulus bills. This will be able to be used by states and municipalities to hire police officers in certain circumstances. But it also includes measures such as toughening rules for gun dealers, expanding summer programs for teenagers, and doing more to hire people released from prison. I mean, this really addresses one of President Biden's promises to look into more gun control regulations. This is something that he can do without Congress moving, because at this point, even simple gun legislation is really stalled in Congress. And the other thing this does, it by tapping into these coronavirus funds, it really takes that off the table as an option for Congress to use when they're trying to figure out a way to pay for that larger infrastructure proposal.
Now, let's talk about that infrastructure proposal just briefly, because we had yet more talks on Capitol Hill yesterday. Still no deal. It's like a broken record.
It is. And I'm just going to go ahead and add another broken verse to that broken record.
Okay.
We still don't know what the pay-fors are. We still
yeah.
don't know how we're going to fund this bill. At this point, it does sound like indexing a gas tax. That's off the table. You know, President Biden has held firm on that. Senators have responded. But there is a question now, really, on how to pay for it. And you've seen White House negotiators go to the Hill yesterday. You're expecting to see more leaders today with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Definitely having those two leaders there might really set a tone for how this goes forward. But everyone right now, you know, Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, they're all under pressure from the progressive members of their caucus to say, you know what, these negotiations have gone on long enough. We have wasted enough time. Senator Bernie Sanders is putting together a $6 trillion reconciliation package, and we need to go with that.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see whether the go-it-alone option is the option going forward here. The other big story on Capitol Hill yesterday, of course, Emily, was Republicans, as expected, blocking the For the People Act, that sweeping voting rights bill. What comes next on that issue?
So the fact that Republicans blocked it really speaks to the amount of deadlock. What a couple Democrats are hoping happens now is that Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema and all these other moderate Democratic senators who have been really hesitant to do any sort of change on the filibuster suddenly wake up, do a 180, and realize that if this voting bill can't get passed, then they need to make changes to the filibuster. But at this point, that doesn't really seem to be happening. Senators at this point seem to be holding firm to the idea that the filibuster does need to remain in place. And so this is kind of the end for the Voting Rights Act. Expect to hear it still mentioned. Expect Democrats to use this during the midterm elections as a way to attack Republicans and over their lack of support for this bill. We are going to be seeing another voting rights bill come up a little later in the year. That's the John Lewis voting rights bill. And that basically bolsters the 1965 Voting Rights Act, gives it a little more power that it used to have but doesn't have right now. But that bill does not do everything that this larger voting package was going to do. And there's a good chance that that also does not wind up passing in the Senate.
And finally, Emily, in our last minute here, antitrust scrutiny for big tech front and center once again.
Yes, we're going to be hearing today as lawmakers debate a series of bills and measures dealing with antitrust. I mean, these are things that if you are Amazon or if you are Google, you don't want some of these things to go through. It would definitely make some major impacts on how those companies function and what services that they're able to offer. At the same point, even though there is bipartisan support for antitrust on big tech in general, these particular pieces of legislation don't necessarily have that bipartisan support. We've heard already from some Republicans in the House who have various concerns with details in the bills, even if they agree with the larger overall goal.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, lots going on in Washington, D.C. Thank you, as always, for keeping us up to speed. You can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Honda Motor has become the first of Japan's automakers to state publicly it'll phase out sales of gasoline-powered cars completely. It has set 2040 as the goal. Honda plans to unveil 3 new electric two-wheelers by 2024, as well as 10 new EV cars in China within 5 years. Amazon shoppers spent less per order during the first 32 hours of the annual Prime Day sale than the previous 2 years, according to Numerator. Electronics, which were the top category shop last year, slipped to the fourth most popular category this year, behind household essentials, gardening supplies, and apparel. And how do astronauts do laundry in space? They don't. Now NASA wants to stop throwing away tons of dirty clothes every year, stuffing them into the trash to burn up in the atmosphere aboard discarded cargo ships. So it's teamed up with Procter & Gamble to figure out how best to clean astronauts' clothes in space so they can be reused. P&G will send a pair of Tide detergent and stain removal experiments to the space station later this year and next, all part of the galactic battle against soiled and sweaty clothes. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures, they're, again, little changed, up less than a point. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 1.47%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.25%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7%, or 52 cents, at $73.37 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.